Hello, you're listening to a spoiler-filled film conversation. Hooray!
We want you. We want you. We want you as a new recruit. We want you. We want you. We want you as a new recruit. In the Navy, there's Frasier and all the guys, all the funny character actors. Yucking it up, guys. You're going to love the Navy. Brilliant.
Cotton Hill is here.
William H. Macy is here.
Yeah.
Oh, good stuff. Fun, what a fun bunch. Yeah. This week on the pod, you join me, Richard. Hello. Salty Sea Dog Abby.
Yar.
Even saltier Sea Dog Anthony.
Is that saltier?
Yeah.
Sure.
And the saltiest spittoon of them all, Jamie. He's also here.
Yarr. Putting electrical wires in my mouth to make sure we can communicate.
Well, thanks for that. Just bear with us. It's a long wait. Suffice to say, this week we chose a nautical themed movie, and it was Abby who suggested it. So she will give you the details to get you up to speed. Before we plumb the depths of this tragic comedy.
This week we are doing Down Periscope from 1996, directed
Is that
by
how you
David.
say it? Like a dog, down Periscope.
Down Periscope. I just want to have a pet called Periscope now. She's like, come on, up Periscope. Down Periscope.
Oh my God, that's a great idea. I know what I'm calling a dog if I ever get one.
Oh, Periscope's pissed all over the couch. That's a bad Periscope. Bad Periscope. Periscope's not going on its WALK. Works for everything, doesn't
Does it's a great name. I'll try that again. This week we're doing Down Periscope from 1996, directed by David S. Ward, screenplay by Hugh Wilson, Andrew Kurtzman, and Elliot Wald, from the story by Hugh Wilson, starring Kelsey Grammer, Lauren Holly, Rob Schneider, Harry Dean Stanton, Bruce
Yay.
Dern, William H. Macy, and Rip Torn. It's about a bunch of misfits on a submarine.
Misfits, bare lens. Not
Yeah.
misfits, they're jerks and pricks, and the scum that have been given to Kelsey Grammer as punishment for being a bit of a dickhead who likes to play golf on his fucking submarine. Sorry, I'm quite with Bruce Dern in this film from the get-go.
You're with Rob Schneider to an extent as
Oh,
well, where
I don't
it's
know about
like,
that. No one
but
wants to
no,
be with Rob Schneider.
everything he said to that chef was perfectly reasonable.
That's fair.
Yeah, the chef
Yeah.
was absolute liability with no redeeming features, yeah. Anyway, jumping the torpedo a little bit there, aren't we? So, Abigail,
Why?
down Periscope. Yeah, question mark.
I saw this in the 90s. I don't know if I saw it in 96, but I definitely watched it not long after it came out. And I remembered the actual submariney bits being good, but I couldn't
Really?
remember much else about it. So, not learning from past experience then, if I don't remember a film, I should leave it alone. But no, I couldn't remember the other bits of the film, so I thought, oh, we'll do it down in Periscope. Let's.
I think you're looking for like a military comedy or something, weren't you, to like sort of change up genres of what we're doing for a bit.
Yes.
Could have done Hot Shots.
That's too good for
That might have
us.
helped
Yeah,
with
I
if we'd done some
know.
hot if we'd have done some Hot Shots, it might have, being drunk might have helped watching this. See what I did there? I don't know what a hot shot is.
Oh,
I
you could have been
suck.
in this.
If I could, I'm that shit. Fucking hell. Sorry, anyway. So you remembered it, but not enough. And you thought, yeah, a nice, easy breezy naval comedy. Maybe it's not, you weren't expecting it to be as good as like Das Boot or something, were you? But.
Not as funny, apparently.
I suppose it's very funny, but is more of a war drama.
Like I said, I only really remember the actual submariney bits because they do a lot of the classical stuff, like pretend you're a whale, hide under something else.
Usually when whale shit comes up, and the whale things always come up in submarine movies, they don't usually make the noises themselves with their mouths and run up and down being silly. They usually
Oh.
just talk about whale noises and make some fucking
I
connection to
mean,
submarining.
to be fair, there's not much else much going on under the sea that's making a lot of noise.
Sometimes the odd Cher concert, don't they? Sub 500 kilo
Yeah,
shares.
wasn't there like someone who did like the world's lowest concert or something?
Lowest. That'd be
I don't know how to
U2.
put it.
Someone tried to drown Ricky Martin. That's what that was. I don't know. I mean, there's a pineapple down there, a tiki head with some very humorous characters living inside. Anyway, so okay. You have watched it again, Abigail.
I'm sorry. I'm very
Good,
sorry.
good. I personally had seen this at some point as well. I couldn't remember it very well, like you. It's very easy to forget or important to delete from your mind, whichever. I just remember it being fine, not brilliant, but like, oh yeah, a serviceable thing. I think because it has all the tropes of submarine movies. To some extent, they're all the same, aren't they? Whether it's The Hunt for Red October or this or Das Boot or I'm trying to struggle for other
It
fucking.
was Up Periscope, which this is sort
Wait.
of a
Oh, is this
what?
is a direct parody of something called Up Periscope?
Up Periscope is funny.
What's the one with a pink submarine?
Carry on a periscope.
No, it's like
Wait,
a
is
Jack
Periscope funny?
Lemmon.
No, I'm thinking the same one as
Pe
you.
Operation Petticoat or
Petticoat. I
something?
was thinking Operation
Ah.
Petticoat. That's funny.
Yeah, well, we're not doing that one, so I can't judge that one. I haven't rewatched a myriad of submarine movies for this. Just watched this one and went, fucking hell.
There's that one Simpsons episode from like 98 where Homer becomes a submarine captain. Also,
Yes.
not a great episode, so kind of in keeping with this film.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. I didn't expect it to be good or bad, but I didn't. I wasn't sure if it was going to be like a real awful pile of shit or not. I wasn't like I don't know. Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. We'll get to that. Anthony, had you seen Up? No, sorry. Wait. No one has seen Up Periscope, have they?
No.
Is that definitely a film?
I don't know.
Abby says it's a film, so
It is a film because I was looking. I was curious because all the way through this film, I'm like, is Down Periscope supposed to be some sort of clever pun on something? And I guess not. And then I was just like, is there like an up Periscope or is it parodying something else? And I found the up Periscope, so it definitely is a film from like the 50s.
okay, but it's not like slang for like Lady Boner or something weird. Like it's not clever. I say clever.
That's kind of what I thought. I was like, I was expecting is like, is this some sort of wordplay? But I guess not.
Well, it's a term they use.
They should have called it the man with a dick tattoo because they love that joke.
They should have called it Welcome Aboard because apparently that is what his dick tattoo says.
Yeah, and then it would be Climb on My Dick, which is kind of what everyone does to Kelsey Grammer on this.
I mean, one versus.
No, I don't mean literally. Yes,
Oh.
but the part of the climbing on his dick is it. He's a like dickhead, not worthy of promotion, Navy guy, and then by the end of the film, it's a schmaltzy. Isn't Kelsey Grammer brilliant? Really, kind of. It's everyone's loves him by the end, even though part of his gimmick is he's a dick. Anyway, though that's neither here nor there. Anthony, you had or hadn't seen Down Periscope, though.
I had seen it. It was like one of those films that I watched repeatedly when I was younger.
You had you your childhood was just
Repeatedly.
back to wall to wall watching movies. This
Several
really
times as well. Did you just
was.
have 12 in rotation?
It's a really
Kind of.
lazy babysitting going on.
I had a very limited video rental.
Okay, and this is on there.
Yeah, so this was one I'd pick up a couple of times and watch. I remembered liking it, but I literally remembered nothing about it other than Kelsey Grammer was in it, the guy who played Frasier, and they said down Periscope a couple of times.
Also,
literally all I remembered.
Also various iterations of Let's Fuck a Pig.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What were some of the phrases they all uttered when they, you know, they're going to blow up in a war game, they're going to fire a missile at a target. And they're all like, let's fuck this
boinka
pig.
Boinka boinka.
Oinka boinka.
Squealing from the reeling.
Oh, God.
That didn't work, though, did they? None of them were like,
no,
oh, that's a funny
phrase. They just
phrase.
Got worse.
Squeaking from the freaking, oinking from the boinking.
Baking from the caking. It doesn't make sense, man. Yeah, okay. So, watched it several times, didn't remember it.
And experience tells me if I don't remember the stuff from the childhood, it's usually pretty bad.
Yeah, you and I really need to carry that forward into 2024.
Yeah, there's a lot of lessons that need to be learned from this, if I don't remember it or recommend it situation. No, what would the podcast be? We'd be very limited. We'd have very few episodes if we didn't dig up some shit we don't remember properly.
We wouldn't have experienced Freddy as FRO7.
What a joy. Yes, Jamie, had you seen Down Periscope before?
Also, yes. I guess we'd all experienced this at some point.
Frasier was very popular, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to ask that because I think... So I remember renting this from the video shop. And I think it wasn't when it came out. It must have been in... I for some reason, feel like it was like 97. But I watched Frasier a lot in the 90s. When it was on, like, repeat on what was
Channel
then
4.
The Paramount Channel Comedy 4. Channel.
Oh, Paramount.
It used to be one of those shows that I would watch, like, before going to bed. Because it was just on at, like, 10. So
yeah.
I'd watch Frasier and then go to sleep. The combination of that and obviously him popping up as Sideshow Bob in The Simpsons... meant that I just liked Kelsey Grammer, and then when I was like, oh, there's a film, a comedy film with Kelsey Grammer in the lead role, I should watch that.
Oh, Money Plane with Kelsey Grammer and Ed the Wrestler. must avoid that with all efforts.
Yeah, well, you know, this was 97, I would have been 13, 12, 13, so wasn't quite as savvy about casting to certain actors being cast in lead roles acting as a kind of a warning to, but no, I liked Kelsey Grammer. I liked Frasier. I say I like Kelsey Grammer, you know what I mean? I like Frasier.
Like his, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, Frasier's a dickhead. You know, you like quality sitcom.
Yeah. So I watched it and I also didn't remember anything about it. I remember my like general response when it ended, when I watched it back then, as being kind of what?
Also, those village people they're toe tappers, aren't they? Those songs. That should be what you think at the end.
I don't know how none of us remembered that music video.
I know,
right? That's something else, isn't it? Also, the fact you're staring at me and Abby were staring at him going, is that, that's the real village people, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're like 10 years older than their prime, or maybe a bit more. A little
but,
bit more worn out and older, but it's them.
I think whenever I rented it back then, I thought, and maybe the trailers made it out to be this too, I thought it was more of a sort of Hot Shots type thing. Like more of a like really slapsticky kind of...
gag
like broader cartoonier comedy kind of thing,
more sketchy rather than like this is
yeah.
This has jokes, but it's more about characters. Whereas Hot Shots is bits, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't realize, and I think I didn't have the I guess the language to describe it at the time.
Still
I didn't
now,
realize
still
how
now, still down got a language.
I didn't realize how half-assed it was.
Well, this film.
Yeah, I didn't quite get it at the time, but now watching it now again, I'm like, oh, they just couldn't really be asked.
It's not that they couldn't be asked.
No,
it's just it's so low stakes the whole
yeah.
through, and yet they're pretending it's really high stakes.
I when I say half-assed as well, I mean specifically like the writing and directing. I do think, even though it doesn't work, most of the cast are at least trying to do something.
What would you say this is like? It's a bit MASH, but not as good.
Oh my
it's a
god,
bit
how dare you?
Stripes. It's a bit, but like it's you know, you
yeah.
can't open with a guy playing golf while he should be without, you know, and bits and sass and, you know, joke. And
it's
they got
also
a guy called Sonar, and it's so close to being Radar. I mean,
yeah,
they're clearly they got one eye on MASH as an influence, but I don't know, it's just
I would
a
say
bit
it's more like
Stripes.
Yeah, Stripes, a bit of Police Academy.
But then again, not as gag. Like, that's what
No,
Hot
no, no.
Shots is more like gag heavy, like that Police
Police
Academy.
Well,
Not
Police
Police. You know, I've confused Police Academy with Police Squad. That's what I did there.
Yes.
Naked Gun and all that is very Hot Shots. Police Academy is like this. The sound effects and shit like that, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Abby, what do you think? Well, what did this movie feel like it was cribbing notes from for you?
Yeah, it was just very, like, it was frat-like, even if it wasn't frat, like, it wasn't properly frat, but because you have so many men between certain ages, it's always going to be a little bit fratty, so it's stuff
Animal
like
House
Animal
vibes.
House.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know, uncomfortable?
Yeah, because it's that, like, it's a bunch of men, and also there's a woman, and that's kind of the joke at first, and then it's sort of not.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is that, like, that's the joke, moving on, is kind of how the film works.
Yeah, and the one woman in it, her character is, I'm just not certain of myself. I came in very cocky because I've done lots of virtual training, but actually when I'm reading a real sub, I lost my confidence. Please give it back to me, Mr. Crane. You know.
In her defense, he was making a do some really weird shit.
Yeah,
in
maybe
the
it's
report.
Maybe it's because I'm not you know, in the Navy, but I didn't understand a lot of that stuff. I was like, what is happening?
The stuff
I did.
That you...
A lot of that stuff was at least based in reality. They obviously had to filmify a lot of
I was
things.
Kind of surprised at how much effort they went to make a lot of that stuff authentic. I'll give them credit for that.
What about banging a load of like whiskey in the engine? Does that make it go
well,
faster?
Okay. Ah, I'm so glad you said that, because I'm ready to talk about Harry Dean Stanton again. Did not expect a Twin Peaks connection in this film. Thank you very much. I'll have that. He was, I believe, in the Navy. Like in a lot of films, I feel like he was cast in this because they basically just wanted Harry Dean Stanton as a character in the film.
Just stand in the
he
engine
is the
room
right
and look
kind
cool.
of person.
He's,
they didn't
he's,
give him enough time, really.
No, I wanted more of him. Apparently, he's not supposed to be on the crew. Like, there was a cut scene where Kelsey Grammer, like his character, I guess, knew him and like sneaks him aboard as like
he
the
wasn't
only person
in...
who knows how to drive one. I
yeah.
assume
he wasn't in the lineup of look at the dickheads we've been given.
He's also never in uniform. He's just wearing a Hawaiian shirt, which
it was
again,
a joke though. It was a good joke that
I
at the end when
is...
they're all in their white uniforms to look good. He's
yeah.
just in, like, you know, shit trousers and a and
again,
a
I think
shirt.
They just put him in the film and were like...
In his clothes. They put a hat on
yeah. him. I'm pretty sure that's probably his hat, too. Like, I think they just put him in the film and were like, yeah, you're not really a character. Like, we're going to call you Howard, but you can just do whatever you normally do. So I would have to assume the whiskey thing might just be something he did when he was on a boat.
Okay. We don't know.
No, the yeah, he served in the Navy during World War II,
Just because he was handy and they were recruiting, I guess.
And I think he just it's probably a combination of that and the fact that like he was also an engineer in Alien. So they sort of went, well, we need somebody rugged and authentic, but who also comes across as a bit of a maniac.
Looks like they've spent a lot of time in the sea.
Yes. Yeah, we need someone with a worldly face and demeanor. And
yeah, like to be the old guy.
Immediately they went, Harry Dean Stantis.
Oh, well, good for them. That was a good. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of good actors in this. It's quite a good cast. They should have been capable of something a little better, I think.
There are. Maybe everyone will disagree with me, but there are a couple of moments, and it's because I was desperately looking for something to like be good at, after a certain point, that I was like, okay, well, that's fun. That kind of makes me laugh a bit.
Yeah, I mean, what like we'll talk about. They kind of do an introduction of most of the characters, so that'll give us a chance to say our piece or whether we thought they brought anything to the table or not.
Well, I'll say right now though that whole scene was awful. So,
oh, where they line up on the dock and are like, say hello to the captain and get on board.
And it's like a rehearsal.
Oh, that guy's name. I still haven't looked it up.
That guy, Bob Schneider.
The
one in the fishnet vest.
Fake Vinny Jones, yeah.
Oh well, yeah, I don't know that actor.
The one who's like Rip Torn's son.
Son.
Spoilers.
Yeah. I didn't catch his name correctly once. I kept trying Stepan- to write it down. Like...
Stepanak. Because I keep wanting to say Stepanak, which I think is another character in something.
So I'm having to move to get my phone so I can look things up.
We also we get that whole scene where the crew is sort of introduced, but there's also more crew continuously as the film goes on. At one point, Patton Oswalt's there.
Is he?
He's the other submarine.
Wait.
Oh, he's on the other submarine.
Yeah, there's two submarines, dickhead.
I know that, but like, but there
did
are
you not
also...
think the other one had a crew?
No, but there are also new crew members that Kelsey Grammer talks to towards the end of the film who are just never introduced or seen again.
There's one guy who
Yeah,
go on, Abby, you say it.
Just that one guy who let go of the torpedoes that actually looks like he legitimately works on a warship.
Yes! And he's just, I've been here the whole time. Nobody talks to me.
Maybe they just couldn't trust any actors to press the buttons on the set in case it fires a real missile off or something. Oh, I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, the general idea is, so Kelsey Grammer, he's a bit of a fucking liability and a bit of a rogue guy. Or he's a bit of a maverick, mess around, fucking, you know, the kind of guy would be get on with the guys from MASH, you know? He's an officer, or I don't know what rank he has it to begin with, but he's not quite in charge of a submarine
He's like Hawkeye if he hadn't been written properly.
Yes, so that is exactly what he is. And so,
but it's like if they put Hawkeye and the big one likes opera.
If
they did both of those into one person.
Charles Emerson Winchester III.
Yes. Right.
Winchesters do not sweat, they perspire.
Yeah, but in this case, it's a submarine situation, not a medical MASH unit or whatever.
Yeah, they're there because they want to be rather than being thrown in.
Yeah, and it's good. Again, the stakes couldn't be lower. It's a war movie during peacetime, and some inconsequential career-based maneuvers are going on. But anyway, Kelsey Grammer's apparently a bit of a wind-up and a dickhead on a submarine. William H. Macy's like, you fucking bell end. You're never going to get promoted. Oh shit, this letter says you're promoted. Bruce Dern has been trying to talk all the other, you know, admirals and shit out of it, because he knows that... what is Kelsey Grammer's character's name? Dodge, they call him.
Dodge, yeah.
So he knows that Dodge is a bit of a bell end, and on his bell end, he has a tattoo, and that gets brought up ad nauseum. And I thought I thought it was going to be a rumor about it that wasn't true. And then he goes, "No, I got drunk one time, and I did get a dick tattoo." Not a pubis tattoo, not a classy pubis tattoo that you could live with, but along his, you could only read it when he's aroused tattoo. Do you not think it's classy to have a pubis tattoo, Anthony?
I think you know my answer.
Well, I've seen your pubis tattoo, so
then you should know.
Yeah, it does not say welcome aboard. It's a danger, danger, high voltage is what it says.
I wasn't expected to hear the word pubis once, let alone several times.
Well, you know, you get them when you're young, don't you? And then you get a murky to cover it up for a bit of dignity later in life. Sorry. Well, I'm apologising. This film has dick tattoos mentioned throughout. Anyway, I thought the main Bruce Dern doesn't like Dodge because he has a dick tattoo, literally. And he's like, you can't promote him. What if nobody finds out and we chirp about it? Then it won't be a problem, will it?
Yeah, what if all of this stuff that doesn't matter never matters?
What if we go to war and so no one still knows anything about it because he's in his fucking pants? And even then, sailors have tattoos, who cares? Anyway, he's the baddie, like he's the dean of the university that doesn't like Delta Sub or whatever. And so gets promoted anyway, mainly because the other fuddy duddies are like, well, fuck, we got to promote him, otherwise he'll not be promoted. So they promote him.
If they don't promote him, they have to wash him out of the program. And that's
a waste of money.
It's a waste of money and an embarrassment as well. Well,
and you're also supposed to like and root for him personally to get, you know.
Why though? He plays golf. And
I mean, because he's the main character. That's pretty much it. Yeah. And it's Kelsey Grammer. He's charming and you know, don't learn too much about his personal life. And you can maintain that illusion.
Sure. Anyway, so he is promoted, but Bruce Dern, as you know, he's not going to let him just easy get a promotion, get in there. Ha-ha, well, I have arranged that you are getting a rusty-ass World War II era sub. And this is the 90s, so it's clapped-out diesel sub that isn't up to scratch with modern naval warfare. And it's shit. Look at it. Shit, Frasier. Look at that, you useless prick. Dodge. Fuck off. Dodge this, you cunt. And then not only that, but all of the people who are going to be manning your sub, they're all the shittest fucking dropout, not quite dropout, failure. It's not nasty bastards like it's the Dirty Dozen. This is the shitty dozen.
Yeah.
Here's fucking Rob Schneider.
One exception to that is Sonar, who was actually really good at his job.
Yeah.
He was just... He could weird. Hear so well they were worried that he was a security risk.
Yeah. Anyway, the other ragamuffins include not very good at basketball black guy, just woman. That's a handicap, isn't it, being a woman?
Gambler guy,
yeah.
He hasn't got... He's gambled his shoes away. Can't have him on, yeah? Yeah, good. Fat man who farts. Good. Rob Schneider's quite loud. Bloody hell. What a hilarious bunch of Backstreet Kids. Sorry.
I want to immediately call Rob Schneider out for being the one who was rolling his eyes while someone else was impersonating a whale.
You can't make an annoying noise for ages and have Rob Schneider roll his eyes. That's his career right there.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Absolutely. As soon as he did it, I was infuriated.
Sorry, they make him walk the plank, so for rightfully trying to mutiny this awful subtree. Yeah, they're shit, not hilarious, is the problem.
You
isn't
can't
it?
Forget, you can't forget,
yeah, I've forgotten
Nitro.
Oh, he so yeah, Nitro, played by Toby Huss, is it?
Toby Huss, yeah,
Huss, right,
probably. I mean, he's been in a ton of stuff, but I know him
Cop
best.
Shop. I don't know. He's very funny in it.
Cotton Hill in King of the Hill.
Yeah.
Also, unfortunately, the voice of Khan, their Laotian neighbour. But mainly Cotton Hill.
I was going to say it's a different time, but it was more a different part of the USA making that
well,
movie.
They are bringing it back, Hulu. We'll see whether Toby Huss is still playing Khan in the new series, but
It's not as bad with his animation, because it's not like he had to like Asian up, was it? He just
yeah, no, it's not completely terrible. It would,
still cast authentically if you can.
Yeah. But yeah,
anyway,
very
yeah,
funny.
He's good. He's very funny.
Trying really hard in this film, bless him, to make something of it. He does have a couple of good moments. I liked his whenever he first meets. I think it's Jackson, the guy, like the one black guy on the crew. And he's like Nitro. That's a something about a nickname. And he's like, no, my name's just Nitro. I've been working on a nickname. What do you think of this, Mike?
Yeah,
and I was like,
I mean,
that's the joke.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. The fact it's a good bit. It could fit in a funny comedy. It's in this, so you know it gets lumped in with all the bad jokes. Nitro is kind of like what's that Muppet who blows himself up all the time called? Crazy Eddie or something? Ah, but you're a Muppet expert. What's the pyrotechnics fucking Muppet that kills himself all the time? Crazy Larry.
Larry.
Or Gonzo. He's kind of like Gonzo.
Yeah, I thought you were thinking of Gonzo, but. He's weirder than Gonzo.
Well, he looks more conventional, unless he has pirate makeup on, then he looks quite odd.
I do. So, one of the things I did like later in the film is that whenever they do the whole pirate bit, when they make Rob Schneider walk the plank, he just then remains a pirate for the rest of the film.
Everyone else stops dressing up like ironic pirates.
But he's just, oh no, I've discovered myself now. This is me.
But what, see, if you've got a guy who, you know, is terrible with electrics and he'll occasionally shock himself,
well,
that's fine, but you can't then have Kelsey Grammer come in and go, let me guess, he's our electrician.
That is the whole thing. Like, this film has no confidence in any of the jokes.
Let me guess, the smelly fat guy is the chef.
Is it?
I don't know. The guy with big ears is called Sonar, and he's good at hearing, is he? Like, some of the jokes were good, where Sonar would hear them from anywhere and respond and say, like, actually, that's not true. You know, I didn't mind that. Like, this is the trouble with this, isn't it? Like, peppered throughout are a couple of jokes that are all right.
Yeah.
And you may even disagree on which ones they are. I think different people might think, oh, that's all right. You might snuff. Did anyone snuff at this? Genuinely?
I snuffed at, talking about Sona, I snuffed at the someone just dropped 45 cents joke.
I enjoyed the charades in attempting to get Sona to do the
that
whale
was good,
sounds.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
And then it went on a bit too long than it was then, kind of funny.
It's when Toby Huss got up to do join in really aggressively with the mime, it was extra good.
And it, like, I don't know why. I think it's just because of his general demeanor and because he's always Fraser Crane in my head. But I always have this idea that, like, Kelsey Grammer doesn't do, like, physical, silly comedy, which is wrong, because he does all the time.
He's always miming terrible.
Yeah.
He's always flailing around.
Yeah, part of his whole thing as Fraser is that he has this, like, phony, like, dignified persona, but he's really, like, embarrassing and... Yeah, he flops around a lot and pulls faces. But he is really good at, like, switching between that, and he does them both really well. He does physical comedy really well, but then also, like, really, like, uptight, dignified. So whenever he switches, I find it really, like, works on me. And then, yeah, like, throwing Toby Huss into the mix. And it goes on for so long as well.
Yeah, it was all right. Abby, are there any little jokes that stand out for you that got a good laugh out of you too? Because in fairness, it doesn't feel like it's not a comedy. It's just, you know, whether or not
it's not a very funny one.
Yeah, but Abby, did you jokes that you did like, any stand out in your head?
Well, the two that got mentioned already, I did like. It wasn't jokes per se. It's a sort of moment that sort of found itself. So, like, when he was on the phone and the guy said, "You're speaking to a superior officer," and he's like, "No, just a higher ranking one," and then he hangs up. It's like, yeah, why couldn't you find that earlier?
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? There are bits in the film where you're like, hang on a minute, I feel like I'm suddenly watching something much better, but like it'll only last for like 3 minutes. There's like peppered in 3 or 3 to 5 minutes of a much better film throughout a sort of like it's like you have to dig through it to find the good bits.
I think also the concept is a bit confused because so it Frasier Crane, the character which Kelsey Grammer is famous for, what?
I thought you were just referring to the character in this
No,
as Frasier as well.
if you but taking like this is his most famous role, he's pompous and up himself and thinks he's above people, and he's always brought down. And made like he's always his bubble is punctured, isn't it? And he's made to look a fool. And in this, he's like one of this crew of people who are all the degenerates and not the disliked non-establishment, non-main like they're the jerks and the outliers, aren't they? So he's sort of one of them, but so they're not against him, and he accepts them all. And runs with it. There's no obvious contrast of comedy there. It's like the bad guys versus the pompous Bruce
Yeah,
Dern guy.
there isn't much of a conflict between him and the crew. Like
Yeah,
he sort
he's
of
like their
immediately,
benevolent leader, isn't he?
yeah.
And so like it doesn't he gets he makes a crew out of them slowly. They maintain being shit for the most part, but they show up to the top brass. And it's kind of we're not puncturing that bubble that Kelsey Grammer would be really funny if he's brought down a peg or two, but he's not there. He's there to bring Bruce Dern down a peg. You know what I mean? And so there's never that obvious
Like he doesn't
comedy.
necessarily grow. We just sort of see why he's good.
Yes, exactly. And that's like, oh well, Kelsey Grammer would love that because he looks like the big man who's fucking. He was cool and funny and one of the guys, but also right. And he's basically fucking what's his name from Star Trek?
Picard. Oh, Shatner.
Shatner. He's Shatner from Star Trek, where he's got a clever way to solve everything. Even it's very Star Trek for him to like. And we won the war games by releasing the missiles before you killed us. It's very like, get your cake and eat it role, isn't it?
It is. I will say though, and I don't know what everyone else's thoughts are on this. I think he's pretty good in this with what he has. Like
He
I,
isn't wrong for the role. Early on, I thought, oh, shouldn't this be like Bill Murray or someone? This doesn't
yeah.
feel
When
like
the I
him.
at the start of the film when they're sort of setting him up, and the bit where he arrives in his fancy car and is like singing, and I was like, oh God, this is atrocious. But once he sort of is the captain and they're on the sub and
He
he
has to have
like
authority. You couldn't have a Bill Murray there, could you? That wouldn't work. So I was thinking then, who else could it be? I was thinking maybe Elliot Gould, but Elliot Gould at this time would have been too old, I guess. He would have had to have been an admiral or something.
apparently it was going to be Tom Arnold.
Tom Arnold, who's there?
Roseanne's ex-husband.
I didn't watch Roseanne.
No, in real life.
I thought she was a lesbian.
What?
Roseanne Barr?
That's Rosie O'Donnell, isn't it?
Oh, sorry. What am I thinking of?
Well, anyway, it would have been much worse. No, I do think.
Kelsey Grammer's not terrible in this, and he suits an authority figure who's a little bit cheeky.
Yeah, the
It
character's
wasn't
just
wrong.
like all of them in the film. The character's underwritten. Like, there's not much. Speaking of Lauren Holly's character, like you said, her whole thing is, I'm not very confident. Oh, now I am. That's it.
The guys have played a prank on her early on.
I didn't
What?
understand what the prank was.
Her clothes were
They shrunk
smaller.
her clothes.
Which they swapped them for smaller person's clothes.
Is it?
So her tits are sticking out a bit, and they can make the clever, you're almost out of uniform. A
She
prank.
does. She doesn't get much to do in
Well, she
this.
she's in she drives, does she?
So
The
she,
sub?
yeah. But I mean, like comedy
Oh
wise,
no, she does
she
nothing.
does get to do trying to walk in her absurdly tight uniform. which I thought was like, well,
should seem.
She's given something to do to be funny, but yeah, she's just there to be the woman.
Anthony, were you going to say anything?
I mean, you can kind of say the character development bit about pretty much everyone on here. Like there are some characters who are given something. Like there's the gambling guy and like the sports guy who are have an argument. And I don't know. There's just a point happens, and no one has any qualms anymore, and we're all just friends now.
Yeah, all of the development seems to happen off camera, and everything is like resolved at the end of the film between everyone.
The only one who has any kind of like character stuff is, what was his name? Spinatic? I can't remember his name.
The guy who wants to be thrown off from the get go.
Yeah,
yeah, and then by the end, he doesn't want to be thrown off. It's like, okay, that's
something. And it's piss weak, though, isn't it? It's the one that has the most developed, it's the most arc, anyway, but it's the shittest, most tropey, rubbish arc. And when first they introduce him, they go, oh, you're like an angry, muscly clinger, where you're trying to get thrown out of the Navy.
My God, you're right, he's clinger.
He's clinger, but instead of wearing dresses, he has cut-off shirts and doesn't...
He kind of dresses like he's in a early 90s gay nightclub.
He's in the new gay.
He, like, Klinger dressed in the old gay. He's dressing in the new gay. He comes in a black string vest.
Yeah.
I guess. He doesn't play it. He should have been there. I mean, but then you can't fire him for being gay, so that would have made him a heel, like, wouldn't it?
96? Maybe.
You know, now you'd have to be, oh, he's trans, get him out of there. But like the whole thing is Dodge Captain Dodge is like
Sideshow Bob.
So Captain Sideshow Bob. There's that bit where Sideshow Bob is a musical number that's all about
from the general HMS Pinafore.
Yeah. He should have sung that in this. That would have been a nice...
No, instead he sings Louie Louie.
They all do. That's an alright joke. I didn't mind that.
No.
I was disappointed that they sang Louie Louie, because Louie Louie doesn't have any fucking lyrics.
I know. It's got two lines.
Yeah.
And also, again, like a lot of bits in this film, it goes on for a really long time.
That's when you've got to pick a song with more lyrics, because you can't just go Louie Louie. Yeah, come on. But... So,
I like
Motorhead's
cover better. Sorry, Frasier.
The cast are all boneheads, but like quite shallow on the ground. It's not about that. It's about silly jokes of people like holding two wires, electrocuting themselves so they can make a call. You know, it's spilling things on the floor. It's slipping off of ladders and shouting. You know, it's nothing too sophisticated.
Another bit of development that does work, or at least did work for me. Toby Huss Nitro and his whole electric gimmick.
Yes.
The way they, and again, I don't know if it was just him making stuff up and they were like, oh, that's good, let's make more of a thing out of that, or whether it was in the script, but him like having different ways to like interact with the electronics, and it like escalating as the film goes on, and then
it was one of the better escalating jokes that was consistent throughout.
And it caps off with him getting that big insulated glove, because there's like the one piece of equipment to patch the phone through all of the speakers that he seems to be like, it's the one electrical thing he's like afraid to touch, and then he puts the big glove on, flicks the switch, and it just works, and he's like, oh. I was like, that's a nice payoff.
I feel, him and Sona were the two gimmick characters that had enough of their gimmick running through it that made sense. Like the gambling guy was barely like a point they brought up. The fat chef guy was a waste of time. And the fact that his joke was just, he lets cockroaches and fingernails and band-aids get in the food and has bought too much lard, so Rob Schneider can say he has lard in his brain. It's just tiring, isn't it?
Rob Schneider in this film is so obnoxious that they kick him off the film.
Yeah. But he wasn't playing the wrong though. Like
it's a typical character for this kind of stuff. Again, coming back to MASH, I guess he's Frank Burns.
I can't complain about a movie kicking Rob Schneider off the film halfway through. Yeah, but
I don't like Rob Schneider, but he is funny sometimes. I'm not going to pretend he's never funny, but this film is one of the prime examples of just like, oh, shut up, get out. He's trying. Like I said, everybody in this is trying to like make something of nothing.
Yeah,
and he doesn't really have a character in this either. He's just, no, you're angry and you shout and then you try and mutiny and you're gone. But his trying too hard is really fucking obnoxious.
Yeah, it's trying. I don't know, but so the other thing this film has then, other than a host of dunderhead navy flops or whatever you want to call them, is it has loads of bits. It's about a war games. Dodge Fraser Crane has to fucking
Sideshow Dodge.
Sideshow Dodge has to win an impossible to win war game. He's given a rusty piece of shit sub. They paint it up nice. And it has to go up against modern nuclear subs and get like bomb a couple of targets, brackets, set off a flare or I don't know, blow up a prop or something. I don't know. They have to win the war game, which Bruce Dern is going to stack against him, or they should just be able to get him because it's like technology is better on the normal Navy ships and U-boats and so forth are technologically advanced, so that they should easily spot him and win the war game. And if he wins, though, if he can manage to bomb the targets, he gets to get a proper boat or something. That's
he gets
what
a nuclear sub. He gets to be the captain of a nuclear sub.
Right, and Rip Torn is the admiral in charge that will decide that that's okay, Like, he kind of is secretly rooting for him against Bruce Dern in Rip Torn. So that's the gimmick. And, okay, how's he going to do this? And it's with the generic bits and tropes from all submarine movies where, what if we are all quiet? What if we go to the bottom of the ocean? They have the classic scene most subway movies, submarine. They're the classic submarine bit from any movie, which is, let's go deep into the ocean and hear the boat creak and bolts fly off and get scared.
Some of the special effects in that scene are pretty good. All of the like shit bending and popping off and like the creaking noises, and again, Harry Dean Stanton with his bit of string.
We're being crushed.
To show, it's like, what is it? It starts out taut, and then as it's getting crushed, it gets loose. Again, I have to assume that's something that he saw, because it's too weird to not be real.
Yeah, every scene he's in, I assume that there's not even a crew in there filming. They set up a camera, they left it there, and he just did things for an hour.
Tell us about the Navy. And they just filmed him. Another bit that he has that I really liked was when they are doing that dive, and the boat is like tilted. I don't know if anyone caught it, but there's a shot of the engine room, and everyone's like falling over, and he's just leaning up against one thing with his foot up on the other side, completely fine with what's going on.
A joke I liked when they were all tilted, I guess, when they were going down, and I don't know, there was some, was it a hiccup, the fact that they were tilted? There was like some.
Yeah, they were basically testing how far down it could go.
And the vents hadn't operated properly.
Or something. And so they're tilted, and one of the lines I liked, although Toby Haas, again, very funny at throwing himself to the ground. He like slides and throws himself to his ground on his knees. It was very funny. And then they did it again, and I was like, well, it's lesser seeing it twice.
But yeah. Okay. You're just padding this now.
You've said that's a really funny pratfall you did. But he when the ship's the correct way up again, you do say ship for a submarine, don't you?
Yeah.
Sub.
When the subway sandwich is the correct way up again, he is like, oh, I better go check the rest of it is not tilted. Yeah. Like,
check the other rooms, it was the right way up.
I was just imagining a very angular, bent submarine. I'm like, oh, yeah, fuck, that would be Danger, like a boomerang-shaped submarine would be terrifying.
The idea of being on a submarine is
Oh, fuck right
terrifying.
off.
A horrible place to be.
Just a bunk bed is annoying enough to lie on, let alone like a fucking rammed in a tiny bed nook and cranny. And also the engine room is like, that's got to be against your human rights, doesn't it, to work in an engine room?
Again, though, Harry Dean Stanton physically looks like he belongs there. Like that's like where he would live voluntarily.
I work on a submarine. I think it looks all right.
What would your role be, Abby? Would you be toenail chef, or
Ugh.
would you drive the thing? You'll just pull one of them big wheels, like I guess the people who do the executing of the driving.
It'd be one of the officer classes,
Oh, you'd
so
want to be.
probably actually the taking control of the dive doesn't sound too bad, actually.
Oh God, that sounds like the most terrifying one, because if everybody gets crushed to death, it's your fault.
Yeah, but who's gonna be there to complain about? They'd be dead, they can't
That's true.
complain. When you're crushed to death in underwater, no one hears you scream. Unless they got good sonar. One bit, the starting bit, I think, where they wanted to evade the baddie army, like I don't know, the rest of the navy, was let's go to the surface and pretend to be a fishing boat. And they're like, you there, black man, you're athletic. You can climb a ladder in the rain really well and dangle, and I can shout at you for don't slip. Go up there and tie a light up or something. And then when they look at us, we'll look like a ship on top of the sea, and we'll sing Louie Louie, and they'll hear us. It's weird how well they can hear underwater, because that's the way they navigate, but they'll hear us singing and go, oh, it's just drunken sailors in a fishing boat.
I
Never
mean,
mind.
that whole bit is fine as like a clever way to escape detection. The problem I have with it is the whole bit with them singing just goes on and on. And it's like, well, why? Like, what are, I mean, I know why. I feel like they were like, we haven't got enough here to make a film. We
They
need
also
longer.
the crew was all like always like they when they're doing a ruse, whether it's being quiet at the bottom of the sea or noisy at the top of the sea, they have to wait till William H. Macy's submarine goes away. And there's an element of like, well, you can't say anything until he goes away because he'll hear you. How do you know that, oh, they're off now? Like, I guess the sonar tells you that they're going, does it, or something?
I
And
don't
then
know,
you
who
can talk
cares?
again.
The man sonar himself
Yeah.
heard them leaving. Some of the
All
time he was
right.
doing it over the headphones, some of the times he was just listening to ambient sound and being like, oh yeah, they're off now.
Yeah.
He's like the shittest superhero, isn't he? With his just really good hearing.
Two lobsters duking it out. That's a thing he says at one point.
That's how he knows
Funny.
that they're near the bottom of the ocean
Yeah.
because he can hear lobsters having a fight.
That would be just a funny thing. Someone who did, if that wasn't his gimmick, it would be a funny thing to say, wouldn't it? But yeah. So we have the pretending to be fisherman thing, and then one of the other ones is if we go to the ocean bed, the sonar will bounce off the bottom as well, and you can't really tell where's sub and where's ocean floor. They do that to evade submarines at one point, don't they? Did anyone else feel like these must be in other submarine movies as well? Like, I feel like I've seen these things before.
I don't know if I've seen enough submarine movies to
Well, we'd all
make a
seen this
judgment.
submarine before movie before, so maybe we'd remember it from that. Anthony, what did you do? Do you care for these submarine maneuver bits? Did they work when you weren't getting like silly gag comedy? Did you enjoy clever ways to get out of war games?
It was fine. And I bring you back to a point I brought on earlier on. It's just like you're in a submarine. There's only so many things that can happen. You go up, you go down,
Up,
you
down, be quiet.
know.
They did hide
So,
underneath a big ship, did they?
yeah, it was kind of
Yes.
like in Star Wars when the Millennium Falcon pretends to be like junk being jettisoned off the whatever it is, the big Star Destroyer.
Only Han Solo doesn't make Chewie do it until fucking Luke Skywalker has the balls to do it. Or, do you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't
Yeah.
act a prick to make a woman have confidence anyway. What are they trying to do? Pass between two propellers? Isn't this really dangerous? They could like sink the ship. This is just a war game. It doesn't matter, does it? They could kill themselves and another civilian vessel. Is that right? Is that on the
That's
cards?
a
Well,
distinct
I don't
possibility.
think the civilian vessel would vessel. I don't think the civilian vessel would have come out of it very badly. And while their ship would have been damaged, they were near a port, so they would have just evacuated and then be fished out of the sea.
I wouldn't say that's low stakes for them. Like, you're a commercial ship relying on a certain number of, like, you don't have time to have a submarine that's on a war game bump into you, break off your fucking fans or your rudder or something, and then fucking, like, there's a whole problem, isn't it? If some stupid military submarine crashes into you. I'm just saying it's irresponsible and I'm with Bruce Dern. But I mean, anyone like that gimmick? That, oh, pop ourselves under the ship. Oh no, it's turning away. We have to come out now and race to the final target. Oh, what drama!
I mean, finally, once I understood what was happening,
yeah,
because well,
they do explain it, and I'm like, I don't understand what they're trying. They're going to thread the needle between two ships.
Kelsey Grammer says we're going to wear them as a hat, and I went, bloody hell, steady on.
And then once you visualize it, you're like, oh, I see what they're doing. I don't know why, but...
Yeah, so the nuclear submarines are tracking with sonar Kelsey Grammer's sub, which they found. And then it's like, if it pops under a boat, they can't figure out what the boat is and what the sub is and lose it. But it's like, can't they tell where it went, though? Like, they know it went near that boat and then you can't distinguish the gap, so...
I think there was a line about they had to do it a certain way, otherwise they'd know they were just under the boat.
Yes. Right, okay. There was a bit of time where the sonar can't something at something, yada yada. But then they have
to
sort of...
It's to do with the churn behind the ship. It disrupts the ability for sonar to read the water.
Something something, yada yada, I think is also how they wrote the script. So...
Oh, and one gimmick was we won't be found if we pretend to be a whale. And then sonar unleashes his ability to do insane whale noises and
this went
dolphin
on
and...
for so long. And it was so fucking annoying. Again, like a lot of films when we watched for the podcast, I didn't inflict this one on my family. So I was watching it with headphones in on my laptop. And
it's funny, you could do a sound effect like the guy from fucking Police Academy.
I cannot imagine watching this in the cinema and this scene happening and just not being like, I'm fucking leaving. I can't.
Well, for me, it wasn't the sound of it. It was the setup where Kelsey Grammer innocently asks about, oh, you have an interest in whales and sonar, do you? Oh, well, that seems completely irrelevant for now. And it's like, oh, they're obviously going to imitate being a whale later on. Like, I didn't know he was going to do it himself with his stupid mouth. I thought they might play a tape or something. Like,
just,
broadcast a whale noise. Es- oh,
especially
whale.
After, like, I thought the whole charades scene where, you know, they try and get him to do the whale songs was pretty funny. And the fact that it also comes in this whole, the whole sequence is already really long of them trying to be quiet, and it's like, oh, fucking, all right, come on. And then the fucking cook farts. And then the guy on the other ship is like, sounded like an explosion. And I'm like, oh my God, we do. And then there's this long sequence of everybody smelling the fart.
Choking.
And I'm like, ugh.
George, weird. Again. They're all grossing out to the smell of the horrible fart.
Yeah.
And then they cut to the William H. Macy submarine as if they're going to smell the fart.
I thought
for sure they were going to smell the fart.
I thought the
same
thing.
Through the sea and the submarine.
But yeah, and then they're like, what was that? And then we have the mime scene, which like kind of alleviates that a little bit. Maybe that's why I found it funny, because it came after such an awful, drawn-out joke. Mm. But then we get this, and you know, fucking as much credit as I can give to the actor Harlan Williams for just going for it with this scene, but the fucking noises he makes is so annoying. And I know that's kind of the joke, but it's not a funny one. So And it goes on and on and
Yeah,
on.
well, so are you. It's
Yeah, I
fine.
know.
The joke's bad. The fart joke, fat cook doesn't do anything to make up for. He doesn't have any virtues, though, to go, oh, well, he
No.
farted that one time, but at least his cooking's terrible.
I'm pretty
And he's
sure that's
always
the last
there.
thing he does in the film.
Yeah, I think it is.
Back in, and what a prick. They should have shanghaied him. No, shanghaied be in him over the head and taking you in with you. They should have
Yeah.
chucked him overboard.
He does have one good joke.
No way.
So, yeah.
What would that be?
Whenever Rob Schneider's like, there was a fingernail in my food yesterday, it was a band-aid. And he says, oh, I'm sorry, the band-aid was holding the fingernail on. That's pretty good.
If you like.
No.
Look, it's better than the fart joke.
It
it's
is better than
the fart joke was more. It was the sort of thing I'd expect in this, I guess. But you know, they get away with this. They seem to manage to slip away from William H. Macy's submarine all the time, and then Bruce Dern's so fed up. He's ready to celebrate by going to take Rip Torn for a nice meal out.
Yeah, he takes Rip Torn out for dinner.
Then thinks the flare indicating that they've won the beaten the first target is a firework.
What fucking kind of admiral or whatever he is he? Because how does he mistake that for a firework?
He just assumes there's no way that a rusty old World War II sub could be doing all this shit and beating him. But he decides to get down there and get, even though he's in charge of the war games and is able to change the rules, he also takes part in the war games, which doesn't seem very fair, which makes him a bit more of a shitheel, I guess. You're meant to root against him even more then.
I think he's changing the rules, but without clarifying it with Rip Torn, so it's technically not like he's underhanded, like he's invalidating his own war games or something.
That,
I
he's
don't
trying
care.
To protect his record in, and yeah, it doesn't matter, does it? Who cares? So Kelsey Grammer gets a fucking promotion. What do you give a fuck? He's just one of many men in the army below you still. He's not an embarrassment. He's not like banging your daughter or something. Do you know what I mean? That's what we need. It's like he used to crash your sports car, fuck your daughter, and, you know, be marrying your fucking wife or your ex-wife or something. Not, do you know what I mean? Like, have some stakes. Not, oh no, Bruce Dern's record of war games will be one to many points. And Kelsey Grammer will have a job. Who cares? It doesn't matter at all. He's not even that dislikable as a, you know, he's fine. His record's good enough to get promotion.
It's not like he's abrasive or, like, even, again, like I mentioned Han Solo, but, like, he's, like, whenever he's introduced, he's kind of a dickhead, and that's the point.
Yeah.
Like,
but Bruce Dern doesn't like dick tattoos, and that's the end of it. He has to go on to William H. Macy's sub and, like, take over to personally tell everyone on the submarine to keep doing their job faster and chase Fraser Crane's sub to the
and
target
you're,
zone.
and yeah, and you're all the way through, I was waiting for the reveal of, oh, there must be something underlying here,
right,
between both him, Kelsey Grammer and Bruce Dern, and Kelsey Grammer and Rip Torn, because, like,
yeah,
there must be a reason why, like, he likes him and he doesn't like him, but there never really is. It's just like, okay.
Yeah, Rip Torn doesn't take it as seriously as all that. And
yeah,
I guess his son is on that, and he wants his son. He doesn't. He's not. He just hopes his son will, like, be better. Like, it's just a slight reveal that his son was the dickhead, muscly guy.
His salute's
who won't
improved.
Behave.
Yay.
Yeah, he's. So I can salute my own son and be proud. So proud. actually, it would have been really good if Tom Green had been the son who shouldn't be in the Navy, who should learn some discipline, and that somehow they get an elephant on the submarine and make it come everywhere. That would have been a reference I would have enjoyed. It probably predates Freddy Got Fingered, in fairness. One other thing that annoyed me in relation to Rip Torn's son in this was his character was, I want to get thrown off, and no matter what he does, Fraser has got a thing like, oh, you there, turn around. Oh, you've knocked him into a big box of oil or something. And so he's got all of these, you may want to get thrown out of the Navy, but I'm not going to give you the satisfaction jokes, which they don't do that many times. But when they have the, you've got to be quiet moment, And then Dodge Frazier guy is like, well, that's very good of you not to make a big noise. You would have got us all caught if you'd have done that. And he goes, well, that wouldn't, I want to get me kicked out, not everyone. That I can't, I'm not, that's not cricket, is it? Do you know what I mean? Like, he,
I don't know, I thought that was all right.
That's a, just a fucking shit excuse, because it was a loophole. It was like, yeah, if he makes a noise, you're, there's no way you, if you could easily get court-martialed, you just fucking, I don't know, just stick your fingers down your superior's throat and go, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, well, you're obviously out now.
Just grab his dick immediately.
Get your balls out. Do anything. Aha, we've got just the way to teach you and learn you how to be a good naval guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a way out of them, like, writing themselves into a corner by being like, well, why didn't you just fuck everything up? But
yeah. But he made Riptorn proud by suddenly wearing his uniform and being good in the engine room. He really fights water while...
Oh, yeah, he has that amazing bit where he fucking, like, hulks up and...
Bulldog clips a bunch of pipes.
Yeah.
Abby, what did... sorry, Jimmy, do you have a point about Riptorn you wanted to say?
I was just going to say, he's wasted in this film. Like,
everyone's wasted.
Yeah, but, like, you fucking cast Riptorn in something, but then you cast him as just a nice man. What the fuck are you doing?
He didn't do anything mental. That's what you get Riptorn for.
Yeah, his name's like, fucking Riptorn.
You wanted him to have an angry tirade, didn't you?
Yeah. I wanted him to at least give, like, Bruce Dern some kind of big dressing down at the end where he, like, you know, it's the one time he loses his temper and, like...
Yeah, or like,
not,
yeah.
Not really. He gets a bit irate with him, sort of, and then that's it.
I guess. Yeah. Abby, did you have anything on notes that we've been glossing over here before we talk about the conclusion?
No, then place things happen.
Speaking of Riptorn, it rips by. It goes by quick. You don't, you know, like some comedies, some bits, like you've said, Jimmy, go on a bit too long. Ugh. But the movie is quite quick. It doesn't fuck around. Sets up the premise quickly. It shows the characters. It does the jokes with them, and it's over. It's not like some prolonged, tedious epic, is it?
Yeah, I mean, you brought up Stripes a couple of times earlier. That's one of those films where it's like, it's not that it's long, but it feels so meandering, especially like
I don't love Stripes.
The end of Stripes is dog shit because it just goes fucking on and on and on. And I'm like, what is happening anymore? Whereas at least I guess this film does have like Stripes is funnier, but at least
let's
make...
not bring, let's not,
yeah,
let's
yeah,
not,
yeah.
Let's not, let's not, let's
I don't,
not have
I'm
to
not,
do Stripes as a podcast.
I'm not
to
a big
decide.
Fan of Stripes. I'm not a big fan of Stripes either, but it's less annoying than this film then. But this film does like, yeah, it goes like A, B, C.
You
the
get
end.
It.
Yeah,
it's not trying to surprise you. It's just,
but the problem is, it's also presented that way. Whereas it's like, yeah, you know, he does the thing, he puts the thing, and then they go into the thing, and he comes out, and he says, "Salute, yay, all right, bye."
Yeah.
Like, why'd you make it then?
Yeah. What's the passion project here? So, Abby, nothing else stuck out to you that you thought, oh well, you know, because you selected it. I mean, you know. You're reappraising it as slightly shitter than you thought it was, I'm guessing. So,
it turns out that I gave it exactly the same score this term as I did last time I logged it on Letterboxd. So it was as shit as I thought it would be.
What's that?
Bad that it was completely unnecessary for what's his name to be doing Frank Sinatra, then he gets electrocuted, then he's doing baseball commentary.
Toby Huss.
He did it really well.
Oh, bit where he's pretending he's picked up the radio. I thought it was very good.
Yeah, but it was completely unnecessary.
Unnecessary
so it was
what
just,
way?
It just... It was... I think he did it twice.
Oh, well, they do like to play the same joke more than once, yeah.
That's it. But it's like... Either someone does it once and it's a funny gag, or they do it all the time because it's their thing, like the guy in Police Academy who was always boomboxing 100% of the time.
Well, you know, him as Crazy Larry giving himself electroshocks. It was just, it was like a little party bit, wasn't it, where you did a very convincing radio voice.
I think it is, part of it is just the actors in this were just just trying to come up with bits to give yeah. themselves things to do.
Yeah, I'm this character. What's my comedy actory thing I can do for this? Okay, the gimmick is this, so I'll have a little go at that. Like, they obviously work from a script, but I feel
it was
like...
weird as well, because it's one of those performances that isn't going to age well just because people aren't going to know the nuances of Frank Sinatra's performances.
Yeah.
Maybe. Like, he does a bit where it's like, I'm going to go and have a smoke. This horn section's terrible. I'll be back in a bit. And
oh, yeah, maybe.
You kind of need to know about Frank Sinatra a little bit to understand it.
I talked about this on another episode recently, but like, it's almost like we only know because we grew up watching Animaniacs, which had references to Frank Sinatra. Mm. Like, we only know that because of like boomer nostalgia when we were kids.
Also, sports radio. Do people listen to sports radio like they used to in the back in the? You could watch everything on your phone. You could watch the thing now. You're not going to listen to the radio report.
It's similar enough to general commentary, I think.
Yeah, and podcast. I mean, it's understandable. I mean, it's a good. I like the trouble is people in this are good enough to make the best of a shit project.
Mm.
Is the best this project was ever going to be is as it is. Like, how much better could it be? Like, it's not. Maybe get up there with Hot Shots. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not. What can they do to make this better?
I don't know. I feel like the script needed a good couple more like passes.
I don't know if it's that much. I think it's that the kind of vibe they're going for, you need improv actors and comedians.
Well, yeah, but some of these people are talented enough to make it work.
I feel like
some of them were, but all of them needed to be.
Yeah, maybe. Well, some of them need to have characters. Like, what can you expect from woman who hasn't got confidence and guy who gambles? I mean, there's nothing, isn't it? Like, the fuck are you meant to make that funny?
Yeah, the gambling guy is the other good example, other than Lauren Holly's character, because like he literally has nothing. His character is I have a gambling problem.
Yeah. I know. Like, another film that works quite well and has sort of a bunch of zany characters trying to do a thing against the authority is like Stalag 17. And then that's like a bunch of fairly believable, like, some of them are a bit wacky, but it's they're trying to entertain themselves in a prison in that one, in like a prisoner of war camp. And they're fighting they're trying to take on the authorities of the, you know, the Nazis in charge of the camp and escape, or, you know, give them a black eye or something, about, you know, in that movie. And it's really enjoyable and good because it's got genuine drama. And it's like, who gives a fuck if someone wins a war game? I don't care, do I? It's not like life or death. It's not.
Well, I think
that... I mean, it might be if they all die in a hideous accent because they risk their lives.
I do feel like there's... You can make it low stakes in terms of the broader story if you also make the main character something. But it, like, again, like, Kelsey Grammer's fine in this, but his character doesn't really, like, why do I care about him? Why do I care if he gets this promotion or not? Because, like, we're told stuff about him, and
we're supposed to just generally root for underdogs and people... The non-professional people in the army.
Yeah, it's just, it's very, I don't know, it's just, it's too thin
or Navy.
Of a premise, but it also isn't funny enough to carry a thin premise. The writers of this, funnily enough, I mentioned Police Academy, Hugh Wilson was one of the writers of Police Academy. And then the other two writers did Hear No Evil, See No Evil with... Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder. Sorry, See No Evil, Hear No Evil. So, like, they are comedy writers who have written...
Well, like you say, they are comedy writers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've written actual comedies in the past.
It is slightly funny.
Okay, they've sometimes written funny comedies, consistently funny comedies in the past. This just is... I don't know, the ingredients are there, but it didn't have the time to cook, kind of thing.
I don't know. But what was the ending? Like, what's our sly get out and win the war game? It's we sneak out, go real quick, and we shoot missiles off, knowing that we may get target locked and hit. You know, we get told we've been hit, but Dodge has like fired the missiles that hit the dummy target before. So we were willing to. We kind of did a kamikaze suicide mission. So it means we won the war game.
Yeah.
If it was real life, you wouldn't be getting any medal. You could be giving medals to the whole crew posthumously, and you wouldn't have risked their lives either. So it wouldn't have worked in reality. But then Bruce Dern couldn't have cheated and changed the area you could hide in. So all fair in love and war games, it seems. And it's just like, well, there we are then. Good. Everyone put on your good uniforms. You turned up looking like absolute shit, like Bulk and Skulk. Everyone was looking like shit.
Bulk and Skulk?
Bulk and Skull? Yeah.
Yeah, Skull. Oh, my God. Are you just... My brain opened up and the music from Bulk and Skull started playing in my head. They're like... like the farting...
Yeah, that's the level of the crew, though, isn't it? They are Bulk and Skull from Power Rangers, the crew. And then it's all like shiny white uniforms. Ha ha, Harry Dean Stanton is in a funny...
Just in his clothes.
And then hooray, you know, salutes all round. And now Kelsey Grammer's going to fuck the blonde woman who had no character. And show, I guess she's going to ride the welcome to my dick tattoo over there.
I love the not welcome aboard, just welcome to my dick.
Climb on my penis.
She kisses him at one point because he... he pretended he didn't know what he was doing, so she would jump in.
Oh, it was fucking awful. Like, if he'd have just took charge, because there was a bit of a, I'm actually quite good at submarine driving from old Dodge, and then she's like, I scored better than you in the tests. I looked it up, and I had performed better. And it's like, oh, is it, bitch? And then, so when he's driving, and he's not doing quite as good a job at navigating under the boat or whatever... She is like, oh, maybe I'll do it. And he's like, do you want to? No. Okay, I'll be driving. Oh, it's really dangerous. Oh, I should drive. Are you going to drive then? No. and then when she takes over and does it and maneuvers fine after having embarrassed herself by hitting the seabed hard earlier, she has got confidence again. And she fucking says to him, how long were you going to fake being shit at driving? He's like, no, he didn't. Don't say he faked it. He didn't fake it. No, he faked it. Shut up. He didn't fake it to teach you a lesson. This is a motley crew of pricks. He's a dick and he couldn't do it good. No, you can't. You're letting him have his cake and fucking eat it again. And then he's going to fuck this woman who he pretended to be shit at driving so that she'd get caught. Oh, it's awful. It's awful. Sorry, that wound me up, clearly. Abby, you're the talking woman in this podcast.
Abby, you're this, a woman.
Was this appalling, the fact that this woman was given confidence by this idiot man who was better than her, and then he fucks her at the end?
That's the thing, like, I was okay with the trajectory until right at the very end, where they're quite obviously going to have sex. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
No.
You could feel Kelsey Grammer being like, well, obviously, if you want me in the movie, I'm putting my arm around this woman and walking off with her.
It's also, if you're the captain of a crew, I feel like it's not okay to fuck one of the crew.
Yeah, that's what I think as well.
It's like a teacher fucking a student.
It's fine if you're all men. All the men in the Navy can fuck each other. But as soon as someone can get
pregnant.
That's
part of the point.
I suppose they're going for a sense of ambiguity at the end. It's like, well, maybe they're going to go for sex, but then it essentially, the film ends with her going like, so what all about this dick I've been hearing?
Yeah, the dick.
Like, well, there's no ambiguity there. Jesus,
that's the thing. You just kept saying like, well, that's a long story, and it's like, well, it isn't a long story. So either you're pretending
you literally
to have a large penis,
yeah,
or you're trying to make something out of nothing.
Well, what I would have liked is a cut back to Rob Schneider in like a fishing net being taken out to sea with a fish trawlers or whatever, because he got thrown off overboard when they pretended to be pirates when he tried to mutiny, I guess. So I want
when
to cut
he calls
back
for
to
his mum when he falls off the plank, and I was like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah.
That would have been like a perfect end credit kind of thing.
Just but Rob Schneider, what's he doing?
Beautiful music video instead, so I can't complain.
Yeah, we could have had it in the music video where he's in like a net going, oh no. But
There was one thing I noticed. In the music video, they were like cutting back to clips of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes.
And there were clips of Lauren Holly in there being a more like typical woman, like doing her nails and.
Yes.
Being dressed more like a woman, which weren't in the film.
It's like they cut them from the film sensibly and then went, actually, we like that image.
So I was like, I was glad they had the sense not to have that in the film, at least.
Well, they did. Even if they did film it at the end.
Yeah.
They also had lots of funny music video shots. So they had the village people do a few bits on submarines and with the crew or in the ship, in the sub or whatever. Like, you know, singing their song. But they also had a few deliberately to be in the music video bits where Kelsey Grammer did some of the village people costumes, including the Native American one. And just a few bits that are like extra. Well, we're having fun on the set bit. That's fine. I'm not sure about the dressing up as a Native American.
Yeah,
but like,
I mean, it's weird. Because he's kind of not... He's not dressed as a Native American. He's dressed as the member of the village people who dressed as a Native American.
Yeah,
so there's some distance, I guess. But
people just messing about at the end is fine for a comedy, for a movie you enjoyed anyway.
Seeing Kelsey Grammer like mime the village people and like pull faces at the camera and through like a weird like fishbowl lens angle, like, it's so fucking weird.
It is odd.
It was funnier than the film.
It was funny. It was weird. It was okay. It's the sort of thing that should be on a screwball comedy, you know, whatever. I still with the Rob Schneider thing, the fishermen, they were just passing by. And
I don't know
Grammer,
where they came from. Don't understand.
He asked some fishermen if they could just take a naval man away to shore.
We're not going to get in trouble for this, right? Yeah, sure. Don't worry about it.
Harry, did you understand the fisherman taking Rob Schneider away joke? And how what they did?
Yeah, they just... They threw him off the ship for trying to incite a mutiny. But rather than actually leave him in the water, they just asked a ship that was in the same waters as them to take him to port when they go in for the day.
I see. So he'll just be... taken there and they'll file a complaint.
So
you didn't murder me, but you fucking you, I don't know what, like, gave me to fishermen like a fish. Well, good.
That's another bit, like, again, fun bit with them all dressed up as pirates or whatever, but it just goes on and on, and it's all Rob Schneider doing his fucking loud bits everywhere, and it's fucking everybody shut up. Fucking
I don't know what you're on about, Jimmy. It's a good laugh all the way through. I think the trouble is you mustn't think too hard. You must just it's for Navy men and sailors who go to the cinema and want a good laugh where they got their hot dog and their beer and they have a good laugh at, you know, women in tight clothes and men doing silly voices and farts and stuff and go relate to all of the submarine humor that they're so used to when they're swabbing.
I don't think
the
you
decks.
Could have a beer in the cinema back in the '90s.
I don't know, in France or somewhere. You're a sailor. You've snuck it in your flared trousers. That's what they're for, isn't it? I don't know. It's for the lads who like Frasier and the Navy and a good laugh.
I don't think the audience for Frasier was lads.
Yeah, it is. It's brainiac lads who like references to operas and therapy.
I guess it was a bit for lads. You had Daphne in there. You had the dad that they could relate to.
Frasier's big. Frasier's big time, and it's better than big. Frasier's better for like nerdy people than fucking Big Bang Theory, which pretends it's for nerds, but it's for the most stupid people on earth.
Frasier is making fun of Frasier, so
making fun of pretentious people, isn't it? Yeah.
That's why I felt attacked by Frasier.
Well, it all you could just blame Cheers for existing. If it wasn't for Cheers, then you'd have no Frasier. You'd have no Frasier Returns in the new fucking Frasier Frasier and Son, or whatever the new version is about.
I like the idea of it being called Frasier Returns. I wish they'd called it that.
Well, it should have been Only Fools and Frasier because they got fucking Del Boy in it.
It's Del Boy. They've got Rodney in it.
Oh, sorry, you're right. I'm not. They don't have either character from Only Fools and Horses in it. They have just British man who is in a university that Frasier works in.
Sounds like somebody's watched it.
I have watched a bit of it. Shit. I
Mm-hmm.
watched a bit of it, knowing it would be shit, to confirm that without the good character from Frasier, it would be annoying, and it is.
Well, he's still popping in as Sideshow Bob from time to time, so.
I guess. I guess that's something. I don't care. I watch Simpsons. No one watches. Who watches Simpsons anymore?
I re-watch old Simpsons.
Anyway, this was sidetracked too far. Abby, is there anything else you want to add? I mean, we all thought it was a bit crap, but not terrible. Is that right?
Yeah, that pretty much covers it.
I thought, yeah, I was expecting it to be worse, to be fair. But it also just isn't anything. Like, it's just, there's a couple of kind of okay jokes, and
It's not
it's then it
offensively bad
ends.
either.
Yeah, apart from a couple of bits that I was like, oh God, but yeah.
But you get through that and you get to another joke, you go, that's fine. You half at it. You
Yeah.
know, you
It's
go,
hard. It's hard to have any strong feelings for the film either way,
Yeah.
because it just feels like we're aiming straight down the middle of good and bad, and that's where they hit. And well done, I suppose.
Yeah.
Any opportunity I get to see Harry Dean Stanton doing his thing is a plus, so it
The
has
case could
that.
be made a good cast is squandered.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But it's no
But they
money
all turned
plane.
up and they all did the job they were asked.
Some of them
And
shouldn't
like
have been asked to do the job, but they did do the job.
also
Yeah.
Kelsey Grammer in like too much of a straight man role. Like he should be funnier. Like for all his personal life problems, he is a very funny and entertaining actor, and I wish they had
He
capitalized
didn't
on
burst
that in
into a
this
ringing
film.
whale once.
You didn't what, Abby?
One of the things he does very well is burst into a room and go like, ah! Because the
Yeah,
situation is completely out of hand.
he doesn't get to do any like big drama in this. Again, just like Rip Torn.
Yeah. But what are you going to do? I'm not ready to fire it off. I'm not going to make a shit metaphor at the end, you. So it doesn't sink like a stone. It floats like a shit submarine and then eventually takes on too much water and kills everyone. No, I mean, it's fucking hell. Who cares? You know, like, whatever. No one expects Down Periscope to be brilliant, do they? And we'd have been stupid to think it would be good, and we didn't, and then it met our expectations of being a bit crap.
This is it's one of those films where I'm like, what did you make this for? Who did you make this for? Did you want to make it? Because it kind of seems like everyone was like, ah, I don't know, maybe may as well.
They
Like
wanted
it's
to
got that kind
make
of tone.
it to flatter Kelsey Grammer, make him feel like the big man on campus. Like,
But he
yeah.
wasn't the original pick, the
Well,
character.
I don't know. Yeah, well, fucking, they made it for us, Jimmy, to really scratch our head just to whether or not it's good or not.
Just watch Police Academy instead, I guess.
Which one? How come there's
Oh.
not loads of up, down, left, right periscopes? What we need a this needs to have a sequel, doesn't it? Maybe we have it where
No.
he's an admiral, and there's a new down periscope, the new crew, and it's
No,
about him. Yeah.
no, no,
I'm
no.
writing the sequel now.
There is a
Wait.
Down Periscope 2, I think.
What?
What?
No.
What are you talking about?
Fuck right off. There can't
That
be.
can't be. You must be wrong. Maybe there's an up periscope too. There's no way
Maybe.
there's a down periscope too.
I'll find out. Find out.
It does seem like there would be like a, Down Periscope 2 starring Larry the Cable Guy kind of situation.
There's no sequel, is there? No. You made that up, Abby. That's not right. You can't say things like that.
I got frightened.
I'm gonna sleep tonight. No, there's loads of other movies like this, like fucking what's this one? Oh, there's 1941, the Spielberg flop, which had loads of other stupid comedy actors parodying
Spoofed
war.
from IMDb, spoofed in Godzilla 1998. What?
What, down Periscope is?
Apparently?
Operation Petticoat. The other things that are supposedly like this are MacGruber, Super Troopers, maybe so. Super Troopers is much better. And then obviously Operation Petticoat. No, I don't see anything about any number two, Abby. I'm writing it now. Got ideas. Bring back Toby Haas as electrocute himself, funny guy, and
I googled it and I did find someone on Reddit asking how come there isn't a Down Periscope 2 and like saying there should be one.
That's like saying there should be a World War II, and like World
Wow.
War I was such a success. Anyway,
God almighty.
there isn't one.
Okay,
If
everyone
this had
can
been
fucking relax.
made a couple of years earlier, though, I wonder if it would have had like a kid-friendly cartoon like Police Academy did.
Did they have a cartoon? Or like
Yeah.
Muppet Babies put down Periscope? Is that what you're on about?
No,
What had
no, no. Police Academy did.
a cartoon? Like The
Yeah.
Mask had a cartoon as well, right? Loads of 90s comedies had cartoons. Anyone see The Mask cartoon?
Yeah.
I haven't seen Police Academy have a cartoon. Fuck, really?
Yeah.
Jesus. I mean, Ghostbusters famously did.
Yeah, but that one
Imagine
was
Down
good.
Periscope, the cartoon by like fucking Warner Brothers. That could work, I
Oh,
reckon.
it wouldn't be Warner Brothers. It'd be fucking Deke or something.
Deek.
Dick.
Yeah. Oh well, there's a parallel universe somewhere that are suffering. Anyway, catch us again for another film another time. Thanks for listening. Bye. I'm saluting you,
Bye-bye.
listener. I'm not.
Hey.
Oh, subordinate bastard. Get to the brig.
You're a
Everyone else better be
dick.
saluting. Farts. Christ.
Just